When you hear a phrase that ends in the word diet, you can't be blamed for rolling your eyes just a bit. I mean, how many times have you heard that phrase? The Atkins diet, the South Beach diet, the blankety blank diet. Insert your own phrase for blankety blank. Today's guest offers a phrase of her own. It is hormone reset. Yes, the word diet comes after it, but let's give Sarah Gottfried, Dr. Sarah Gottfried, a little time to explain the concept and the book by the same name, The Hormone Reset Diet, Heal Your Metabolism to Lose Up to 15 Pounds in 21 Days. It is about getting the right balance in your metabolism for benefits in health and weight and a whole lot more. Dr. Sarah Gottfried practices medicine in the Bay Area, where she is a board-certified gynecologist. Her training comes from Harvard, MIT, and the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Gottfried is the author of another book, The Hormone Cure, for which she joined us 2 years ago. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange, Dr. Sarah Gottfried.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Delighted to be with you.
Same here. So where do you go in this book that you didn't go in the last one?
Well, this book takes on weight gain, especially for women, and I really appreciate your introduction because I think that most people are jaded when it comes to diet. But it turns out that hormones control what your body does with food, and that's where we go with this book.
Well, you certainly start on a personal note. I used to be fat, and I'm a doctor is the first phrase in the book.
Yeah, well, you know, I think many doctors don't talk about their personal story, and yet I would say that my struggle with weight gain, especially after having two babies in my 30s and being a crazy, busy, working mom, that's what led to many of my discoveries about how you can reset your hormones and do it in a relatively short amount of time.
So your own personal story goes back a bit. I mean, you tell us in the book about when you started dieting. When did that happen in your own life?
Well, if we first look at some of my weird relationships with food, I would say it started when I was a kid. And I remember distinctly my great-grandmother making chocolate chip cookies. And she told me I shouldn't eat the dough because it had raw eggs in it. There was a risk of salmonella. And that's my first memory of disregarding an adult's advice in favor of the taste of the food and what it did on my taste buds.
Oh, really?
Definitely. You know, it's what I would say it was a moment of stepping into a place of eating food for emotional reasons, eating to change my emotional state. And I didn't understand the biochemistry at the time, but I would say that was the early underpinnings of becoming a food addict.
And what conclusions did you reach about dieting over the years? Because you had tried a few things.
I tried pretty much everything. And, you know, one conclusion I had in my 30s was that my old diet tricks just didn't work anymore. You know, I was raised in a conventional medical framework where we were taught that it was calories in, calories out. If you want to lose weight, it's simply a matter of math, simple math. You got to exercise more and eat less. And yet that no longer worked when I was in my 30s. And now I know the reason was that my hormones were off. I had insulin resistance. Even though my fasting blood sugar was within the range that most doctors would consider normal. So we've really changed our understanding of what happens between hormones and their receptors. And there's seven hormones in particular that you want to be paying attention to.
You mentioned insulin resistance. Can you explain that concept a little further?
Sure. Insulin's probably the hormone that we know the most about. And when insulin is no longer having a good relationship with its receptor, it's like a lock and key relationship where insulin fits into the key is a key that fits into the lock of a cell and basically opens up the cell. If you have a jammed receptor, what happens is your insulin levels will start to climb, and that is called insulin resistance. Another way to think about it is it's like molecular sex, and you're no longer having good molecular sex between insulin and its receptor.
All right. You may be the first person to use that term on the air.
I was trying to be careful.
That makes sense. You know, things just aren't working well between the partners anymore.
Exactly right. And it's all about the relationship between the partners. I mean, that's true with hormones. It's true with relationships in general.
All right. Well, the book is certainly aimed at women. Why do you say that women are at a disadvantage when it comes to getting fat?
There's a few reasons. You know, women have much more fluctuation in terms of their hormones. We all know that. You know, in our reproductive years, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone are fluctuating every day. But even after menopause, there's still quite a bit of fluctuation that occurs, much more so than what we see in men. Men have their own changes that happen with especially testosterone and estrogen, but it's much more gradual and over time. The other issue is that men have more testosterone, and that's one of the reasons why men tend to lose weight much more rapidly than women. They don't struggle. They don't have the weight loss resistance that women have. It's called the testosterone advantage. So women have more estrogen, less testosterone, and so we need to work to get those two hormones back into balance.
Is this because of the relationship between testosterone and lean muscle mass?
That's a big part of it. I mean, frankly, scientists are still a bit confused about what exactly is the difference between estrogen and progesterone when it comes to men and women and how they respond to changes in what they're eating. Part of it seems to be lean body mass. It doesn't seem to explain the entire story. Another piece to it that's interesting, and this is very cutting edge, is what happens with your microbiome, you know, the set of bacteria and their DNA that live in your gut. Those play a huge role in your metabolism and whether you become thin or obese in response to food. And there's a subset of your microbiome called the estrobilome that controls your estrogen levels and can put you at a greater risk of things like breast cancer, endometrial cancer, and ovarian cancer.
Okay, I want to explore further with the microbiome and the estrobilome and talk about things like potential cliff effect in hormones, maybe more for women than for men. Dr. Sarah Gottfried, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, her book is The Hormone Reset Diet, Heal Your Metabolism to Lose Up to 15 Pounds in 21 Days. We'll get into the specifics when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange and take your phone calls and emails as well. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Sarah Gottfried and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Dr. Sarah Gottfried, a physician practicing in the Bay Area, board-certified gynecologist. She's written a second book about hormones, this one called The Hormone Reset Diet, Healing Your Metabolism to Lose Up to 15 Pounds in 21 Days. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about hormones and the way they really do get in the way of weight loss and general regulation of the metabolism. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. There I go reading ahead. I said effect. Forgive me for using a digital broadcasting term in medicine, but, you know, you go with the field you know. Is there something like a cliff effect? It sounds like if there is one, it's certainly more for women than for men, where the hormones change rather suddenly in life.
Yeah, that's a great question. I love it. I'm a total geek, Jeff, and so this gets me to think in a different way about how these hormones respond to each other. And I would say there is a cliff effect. I think the cliff effect may be insulin for a few reasons. And I think women are more vulnerable to the effect of insulin as a hormone compared to others in terms of whether it decides when you eat an apple, for instance, to store that as fat or to burn it as fuel. So the cliff effect, I would say, is that these hormones crosstalk so that when you have insulin resistance, you're going to be more likely to have estrogen dominance, whether you're male or female, too much estrogen relative to its partner hormone, which is progesterone in women, testosterone in men. It also affects leptin, which has been called the satiety hormone. It's the one that tells your brain to put down your fork. It can also affect your testosterone. We know that from women who suffer from polycystic ovarian syndrome, and they have too much testosterone. They also have insulin resistance. So I really like this point you're making about the cliff effect.
Well, I want to come back and talk about the microbiome, which I know that medical science is focusing a lot more on now, the stuff that lives in us that isn't us, all the bacteria and the other things that really do help us live. And you were talking about the estrobilome in particular. Explore that a little further in the context of resetting hormones.
Sure. The microbiome in general, I think, is so exciting. It's really going to be what we're going to hear about for the next 10 years. It is revolutionizing medicine. So I'm interested in particular about the microbiome and how it modulates your hormone levels. So we have a lot of data now showing that the microbiome, you know, that set of microbes, certain ones in particular, out of the entire aggregate, control your estrogen levels. That's true in men and women, but more so in women since we have more estrogen. And depending on your levels, you can either increase or decrease your risk of estrogen-dependent conditions, including obesity, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, endometrial cancer, maybe even prostate cancer in men. Now, that's not the only hormone that the microbiome can control. There's also data showing that your microbes can control your testosterone levels. So it's not the whole story, but it's an emerging picture that's very interesting. One idea here is that when you make an estrogen molecule in your body, whether you're male or female, you're designed to use it once and then pee or poop it out. But what happens in a lot of women and in a lot of men is that they keep using estrogen, they keep recirculating it over and over again because of the microbes in their gut, almost like bad karma. They just keep using the estrogen over and over and over again. They're in this cycle, and it keeps stimulating estrogen receptors, putting them at greater risk for estrogen-dependent conditions like the ones I've mentioned.
So if you're supposed to pee or poop it out, your terms, not mine, does that indicate that the bacteria in your gut is potentially getting in the way of its absorption or its excretion?
Getting in the way of its excretion.
Mm-hmm.
Good clarification.
So it stays in the body when it shouldn't.
Exactly right. So the idea is that there's certain bacteria that will undo the biochemical reaction that happened in the liver so that you keep recirculating it and your levels are too high. Another thing we know is that people who eat red meat have higher estrogen levels, probably related to the same problem.
Okay, so Dr. Gottfried, when we begin to talk about ways to regulate the metabolism, I've been to enough thyroid doctors over the years to understand that they talk about that first and foremost. I mean, and yet as I look at the resets here, thyroid is actually number 5 of the 7. Would that not logically be the first, and did you maybe think so at the outset?
You know, I did think it was the problem at the outset that I should start with, and I do think that it's a very common problem for women, especially as they get older. Being postpartum is also a vulnerable time, as well as menopause. But what I've found is that mostly due to environmental exposures, I think that estrogen pollution is starting to replace thyroid in terms of number one hormone problem. So that's why I started with the meatless reset, which is designed to reset estrogen. Because I really feel like that is a key problem that's not being addressed, ranging from endocrine disruptors that you get exposed to, things like bisphenol A, which lines the plastic lining cans, to phthalates. These are endocrine disruptors that can affect your estrogen levels in your body.
I think we have a call about that very subject. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Sarah Gottfried.
Good morning, Dr. Gottfried. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I've got a horrible connection here, so I don't know if you can hear me. I'll be as quick as possible.
We're here fine.
I'm wondering if, in fact, this doesn't go further between genetically modified organisms and pesticides, whether this isn't not only creating a situation where we have all kinds of adverse hormone mimickers in the system that we can't cycle out. I'll be polite about it, and also whether it isn't affecting the microbiome in our gut. You know, it makes sense to me that if this stuff is poisonous to critters, so that it's more easy to produce and more profitable to produce, that it's probably doing the same kind of poisoning to us. I'll take my answer to the comments off the air.
All right, thanks, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Paul, for raising this really important issue. And I wish we had better data documenting what happens with GMOs and pesticides on the microbiome. We have some limited data, but a lot of the data on GMOs, as you may know, is in rodents. But here's what we do know, and there's so much controversy around this, but there's quite a few studies now showing in rodents that exposure to genetically modified organisms makes female rodents become more like men. So it tends to raise their testosterone levels. It causes infertility, kind of similar to what we see with polycystic ovarian syndrome. And in male rodents, it makes them more female. So it raises their estradiol levels, their estrogen levels. So you're right on in terms of the adverse hormone effects of things like GMOs and pesticides.
Particularly, it seems like I know that Dr. Tyrone Hayes over at UC Berkeley has been doing studies of atrazine for years, and that actually causes, I think he's figured out that certain frog species actually will change sex.
Yes, exactly. So it's the same sort of problem, kind of becoming more intersex and changing the hormones in the wrong direction.
Dr. Sarah Gottfried is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is The Hormone Reset Diet, Heal Your Metabolism to Lose Up to 15 Pounds in 21 Days. You may join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange. Our phone number here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I understand you first tested the Hormone Reset Diet, Sarah, on a group in Oakland about 6-7 years ago. What were the results?
Well, the results were pretty stunning. I found that, you know, for a while before I offered it in a group setting, I was doing it one-on-one with my patients. And I've seen about 25,000 patients in the past 25 years. So I had great results in my own body in terms of resetting my hormones. Then I brought it to patients one-on-one. Then I decided to do it in a group setting. And we've got quite a bit of data on this, so it supports my own experience. We found that in a group setting, when you're resetting these hormones together, you double the weight loss results. And a lot of people reported that they had mood changes. We tracked depression scores using validated scales, and we found that rates of depression went down by half when people went through this 21-day program. And that makes sense because so many hormones modulate your mood. We know that about half the people with depression have high cortisol, about 20% of people with depression have a problem with their thyroid, and then some percentage, not well-defined, have a problem with their estrogen levels.
Why do you think it works better in a group setting?
Well, you know, when I started teaching it in groups, we've had kind of a similar phenomenon all along. Mostly it's women, and then there's a few men who join us, a few brave men, and I want to like give a shout-out to them because I so appreciate them. Often they're dragged by their wives to join us. But there's something about the group setting, I think possibly it relates to oxytocin and women's tendency to tend and befriend. Women do oxytocin really well.
It's the bonding hormone, isn't it?
It's a love and bonding hormone, and it also has quite a bit to do with social interaction. You know, we know that folks with autism often have an issue with the oxytocin receptor. So I think there's something about leveraging oxytocin in a group that improves results. I mean, double the weight loss, that's undeniable.
Are there any strategies? I know this is not one of the 7 hormone resets you're doing here, but are there strategies you're aware of that do target oxytocin through diet?
Great question. I haven't seen data resetting oxytocin with food, but definitely you can do it with mental retraining, with contemplative practice, and also with hugs. Hugs are very effective, although you have to hug a man about 3 times as long to get the same increase in oxytocin.
Anybody has to hug a man 3 times as long?
Well, there's probably some people who have a more effective response than others, but in general, someone you love hugging you will raise your oxytocin.
This sounds like a whole nother book. I'll pick this up a different time. All right, so it is 3-day bursts, and this is why it's a 21-day program. So 3-day bursts get the hormones reset. So 7 hormones times 3 days each, you get 21 days total. Is there further maintenance after that first 21-day period, though?
There is further maintenance. I mean, I think the way I look at it is that most of us are living in a particular cycle. We retox, detox, retox. And I think that cycle is reality-based. I think it's much more effective than just trying to be perfect with your diet all the time, which sets you up for failure. And when you go to the maintenance phase, it's similar to coming out of an elimination diet, where you observe for 3 days your response to the food that you're challenging with. So, for instance, when you've been off of sugar and artificial sweeteners, you could try having a diet soda and then observe for 3 days what happens to your body. We know that diet soda affects the microbiome adversely, and there's some data suggesting that diet soda may be even worse than soda itself. So that's not one of my favorite foods to add back, but some people definitely love to do that. Another example is adding dairy back.
So I want to make clear, though, that when we're talking about this 21-day period, when you're at the end of the third day in the particular reset you're in, do you then get the capability to add back? I mean, you don't. This is not a progressive removal of all things from your diet over 21 days, is it?
It is a progressive removal,
and
it's designed because there's certain foods that can have toxic effects and can take a little bit longer to reset your hormones. The data is best in terms of a three-day reset for insulin. That's where I first got onto this idea about turning over your insulin levels and their receptor inside of 72 hours. So there's data showing that you can do this with your fork, and there's also data showing that you can do it with estrogen and the estrogen receptor. So the idea is to be progressive. So the first reset, when you're resetting estrogen, is to go meatless, to give up red meat and also alcohol, and to increase your fiber, to eat about a pound of vegetables a day. And then you continue that throughout the 21 days.
So let's talk about the resets then. Reset number one is estrogen. It does involve going meatless. And so is it just red meat then?
Well, what I'm trying to do is to really raise awareness about the type of meat that we're eating. You know, most of the CAFO meat that we're eating from concentrated animal feeding operations is quite toxic. You know, the average cow in the U.S. is injected with about 6 steroid hormones. They have super bugs from the antibiotics that they take. And this is inflammatory meat. We know that it raises estrogen levels. So what I do is I suggest that people who are doing the detox give up meat for 3 days, give up alcohol, which raises both your estrogen level and your increased risk, and gives you an increased risk of breast cancer, and then to increase your fiber, because fiber is one of the best ways to get the estrogen out of your body.
All right, so meat and alcohol, and so all kinds of meat, though? I mean, we're talking red meat, white meat, everything?
No, I think the data is much stronger for red meat. That's the evidence that we have. And so I encourage people to continue eating poultry, fish, eggs, and, of course, plant-based sources of protein.
All right, so poultry and fish, okay. And then we move on to reset number two, which is going sugar-free to regulate the insulin.
Right. This is the one that I think people get the most worried about. You know, a lot of the people I work with have issues with sugar cravings, and sometimes it's related to artificial sweeteners. So I have people give up sugar and artificial sweeteners for the next 3 days. And, you know, I find that a lot of women use sugar to change their emotional state. We've got quite a bit of data now showing that sugar lights up the certain pleasure centers of the brain, like a Christmas tree. I certainly had that experience in what I was describing earlier with my grandmother and chocolate chip cookie dough. And so this reset is designed to get sugar out of your life, to reset insulin. And then another driver of sugar cravings is cortisol. So I don't want to jump the gun here, but I think a lot of women don't realize that sugar can raise their stress hormones, their cortisol level.
Really? But at the same time, it also gives them a level of comfort.
It gives a level of false comfort. It gives a temporary sense of comfort. And I think the idea here is that we want to swap that false comfort for a deeper, more sustained comfort.
All right. I should point out that before anybody embarks on the hormone reset diet, we're up to reset number two now of 7, that there is an assessment before anybody starts the program. What kinds of things, Sarah, do you want them to assess?
Well, I think it's important to realize where you are with these 7 hormones and metabolism. Do you indeed have a broken metabolism? Will you benefit from doing this program? Because it's not for everyone. And I actually have a free quiz that people can take to take a look at this, or you can go through the quiz that's in the book. Can I mention the free quiz?
Sure.
So that quiz is at hormonereset.com/quiz. And it's got a number of items from the Yale Food Addiction Scale. It's also got some other questions that I've been asking over the past 7 years to help people identify whether they have a sticky relationship with food, if they're eating for emotional reasons.
All right, so hormonereset.com quiz gets you right there. And here it comes. So, yes, it comes right up. All right, it's good. We were talking about artificial sweeteners, though, in the reset number two, going sugar-free to work on the insulin and cortisol. What about substitute sweeteners, things like honey or agave or any of the natural ones?
Well, in this reset, we are trying to heal the relationship between insulin and its receptor. Honey and agave still will cause blood sugar rises. The only sweeteners that I think are a good idea are the natural ones, such as stevia. And even there, you want to be careful that you're not using it as a crutch. You know, sometimes it can keep you addicted to eating something sweet when you're having a natural sweetener.
All right. A whole lot more to talk about on the Hormone Reset Diet with its author, Dr. Sarah Gottfried. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Sarah Gottfried and you in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest once again for the first time in 2 years is Dr. Sarah Gottfried, follows up the hormone cure with a book on how to reset our hormones through diet. It is called The Hormone Reset Diet. Heal your metabolism to lose up to 15 pounds in 21 days. Dr. Sarah Gottfried, a gynecologist doing business in the Bay Area, obviously expanding into other realms of science beyond gynecology. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We talked about the assessment that people need to go through to get started here. We talked about finding it online as well at hormonecure.com/quiz. Now, there's a checklist of things you need to do in here. Among them, should you be checking with your doctor before you start any program like this, Sarah?
Well, I think that's always a good idea. You know, I think it's important to establish a base case before you change your food plan. And, you know, if I had my way, I would love for people to check these seven hormones and metabolism so that they can document the change that occurs over the 21 days. So that would be ideal. But, you know, for most folks, I think it's relatively safe to be changing the food that you're eating, because I'm not making any outlandish claims about eating weird foods. We're mostly talking about eating a pound of vegetables a day, experimenting to see what happens when you eat more seafood and wild-caught fish that's low in mercury as opposed to red meat, and cutting out the sugar and the sugar substitutes. So I think in an ideal world, you check with your clinician first, maybe even do some hormone tests, but it's certainly not required.
Boy, given the kinds of things you study, you probably get a lot of those boxes on your web browsers. You know, the amazing food that will solve your blank.
Yeah, not much science to support those, Jeff.
No, I can imagine. There is an aside here on change management, which apparently is a study in itself. Tell us about that just a bit.
Yeah, you know, change management, I think, is an important part of being successful when you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to increase your lean body mass, which is what I care about even more, because that's what tracks with longevity. And we know that, you know, taking a larger goal and breaking it into smaller goals is such an important part of this process. Otherwise, you know, I think women especially will aim for perfection when they go on a diet. And I believe that's one of the reasons for failure.
Because they're trying for something that's unattainable?
That, and I think they give up when they can't do it perfectly. And this is a situation where I'd like to quote Harry Truman, or paraphrase him. He said that imperfect action trumps perfect inaction. And I think that's a really important point when it comes to changing your food plan. We want to be making those small baby steps that add up to major transformation over time, rather than, you know, trying to go from 0 to 60 inside of 3 days.
All right, we have a call for you. Let's go to Connie in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Sarah Gottfried.
Good morning. Interesting program. I have a question. For people who are on certain long-term medications, I know that some of the anti-seizure medications and some of the mental health medications target, actually work by targeting the parts of the brain that produce hormones or regulate production of hormones. And I wondered, have you dealt with patients that are on these long-term medications, and how would a diet like this work with a person who was on that kind of regime?
Okay. Thanks for the point, Connie. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Connie, great question. And, you know, I've had a lot of folks who are taking long-term medications, antidepressants, seizure medications, as you've mentioned. And for the most part, we found that people who go through this program are also cleaning their liver, resetting their liver, because the liver is kind of the way station. It's like a traffic cop for your hormones. So I found that people sometimes can decrease their doses when they go through this program, but you raise a really important point about how these medications can affect the brain. And the brain ultimately is the control system for the way that your hormones are released in your body. So this is a situation where I think you definitely want to be talking to your clinician, your prescribing clinician, maybe even checking some of your levels. We know that some folks who are on antidepressants, for instance, and let's face it, we know that 1 in 4 women over the age of 40 are taking antidepressants. You know, a lot of women are on antidepressants, and their root cause for feeling lousy or having mild to moderate depression is hormonal. So when you're treating the hormonal root cause, a lot of people are able to get off of their antidepressants. Now, you would want to do that under your prescribing clinician's direction and supervision.
Sarah, do you have to buy a bunch of stuff to get started with this in terms of foods and sweeteners and things you don't normally eat, just to be able to kind of fill out to replace the things you're not going to eat?
The main thing you're buying is to really invest in some healthy vegetables. So we give a lot of direction about how to do this. You know, I love to keep it simple. And so the emphasis here is to buy a pound of vegetables a day. So to get started, if you're going to do the first 3-day reset, you'd want to have about 3 pounds of vegetables. And so that takes a little bit of planning. I'm sorry that my throat's a little froggy here. And that's the main thing that you need, is along with some clean sources of protein, so that you're getting sources of protein that have very healthy fat, such as cold water fish, seafood, plant-based protein, such as quinoa, and pastured chicken.
Cold water fish because they have the right kinds of fats?
Cold water fish because they have the right kind of fat, and they also are lower in mercury.
Okay. More calls here. We have Sandy and Mount Shasta on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Sarah Gottfried.
Yeah, hi. This is very intriguing. I'm not used to paying much attention to stuff about diet, but the last caller prompted me to follow up with a question about, do you have any information about how your diet might interact with somebody who is taking a long-term hormone treatment for prostate cancer with a drug called Lupron?
Okay, yeah. That's a very worthwhile question. Thanks for that, Sandy.
Yeah, great question. So Lupron, for those of you who haven't taken it in the past, is something that shuts down your production of sex hormones. So it shuts down your production of estrogen. And it's interesting, when you have lower estrogen levels, this is true for women after menopause, women or men who are taking Lupron, often there's still an imbalance between estrogen and its partner hormone. I alluded to this earlier, but let's get maybe a little more detailed about it. So in men, there's a relationship between testosterone and estrogen that you want to be paying attention to. And this is especially important in terms of risk of prostate cancer, as well as heart disease and other problems that men face and women. And then when it comes to women, it's the ratio between progesterone and estrogen that you want to be paying attention to. So Lupron will lower your estrogen levels, but then you also want to be paying attention to the relationship between these two, or the ratio, testosterone to estrogen in men, progesterone to estrogen in women. So this diet is designed to help you with those ratios. So even though you're on the Lupron, there still is an important role for managing your testosterone and managing your progesterone.
Okay, so it goes beyond what the drug is doing and gets back into the diet as well. So then we have another call here. Here's Christos in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Dr. Sarah Gottfried. Her book is The Hormone Reset Diet.
Hi, Jeffrey. Hello, doctor. I wanted to ask you about, if your book is applicable to men? I know you tailored it to women. And secondly, are you planning to publish a book that is tailored to men?
All right. Thanks for that.
Yeah, great question. My father-in-law keeps asking me that question, too. And I, the answer is yes, I would like to do that. Although my husband doesn't think that men need a book. He thinks we could actually keep it simpler and maybe have a front and back laminated card that could fit in your back pocket to guide you on what to eat. So to answer your question, the book is tailored toward women, but there's certainly, you know, many of the guidelines also are beneficial for men. Resetting your estrogen, resetting your insulin, resetting your leptin level and your cortisol. So we've had 5,000 people go through this program. We found that they lost a mean of about 15 pounds. They dropped their blood sugar about 20 points. They lost 4 inches off their waist. And that's about 95% women, 5% men. So we definitely have data in men. It's not as robust as what we have in women, but there's a benefit to men as well.
Well, you're kind of halfway to the laminated card because you do have the efficient chart here that shows the 7 hormone resets in nice colors, but I just realized it's a pie chart. Maybe I'm getting hungry too.
Well, that's the one we'll laminate, and we'll put some specific information for the men on the back.
Okay. We got to reset 1, estrogen, reset 2, insulin, reset 3 is leptin, and you mentioned this is the one that lets us know we're done eating, leptin?
Leptin is the satiety hormone. It's produced in your fat cells. It goes to the brain to tell you to put the fork down. And what happens with a lot of folks is that they have leptin resistance. So the signal's just not working as well as it used to. What we want to do is get leptin back to the Goldilocks position, just like we want to do with the other 6 hormones. And fructose is one of the culprits here. So getting too much fructose, mostly high fructose corn syrup, eating too much processed food, but also in people with a broken metabolism, if you're eating high fructose fruit and you're eating too much of it, it can overload your liver and lead to a problem with your leptin levels. So, you know, this is another problem with what I would call the big food industry, where they've hybridized fruit over time. You know, an apple that my great-grandmother ate, she was born in the year 1900, had about 2 to 3 grams of fructose. An apple today is more of a sugar bomb and contains about 20 to 25 grams of fructose. So what I have people do in this reset is to give up the high fructose fruit and to choose only the low fructose fruit, things like avocados, coconut, and olives.
Well, I'm rather amazed at that figure, though, that the grandma's apple was 2 to 3 grams, you said, and the current one is about 20 to 25.
Well, that was my great-grandmother, so about 100 years ago, 100-plus years ago. But yes, I mean, dramatic change in terms of how food has been hybridized, fruit in particular.
Are there any fruits that that you would recommend keeping in during reset number 3, anything that is still okay?
Well, the 3 that I mentioned, avocados, coconut, and olives, I think those are the best choices. They're the lowest in fructose.
All right. Reset number 4 goes for cortisol. Caffeine-free, oh boy.
Yeah, this is one that makes me a little less popular, but it's something that needs to be done. I mean, I feel like I've got to share the truth here, even if it isn't what people want to hear. So cortisol is one of those interesting hormones. It's a stress hormone. I think a lot of people know about that connection, but they don't realize that often we can get into a pattern of sleeping poorly, drinking a cup or two of coffee in the morning, jacking ourselves up, jacking up our nervous system, raising cortisol. And then at the end of the day, to try to wind down, we'll have a glass or two of wine or some other cocktail. And that's the pattern that I want to break. You know, another really important way of increasing your lean body mass is to make sure that you're sleeping really well at night. So I'm not saying you have to give up coffee for the rest of your life, but I'm saying give it up for 2 weeks. It can really make a difference in terms of your sleep and your hormone levels.
What are the natural stimulants that the body replaces caffeine with after a few days?
Well, I think when you start to eat a pound of vegetables a day and you're eating foods that have the highest nutrient density, so we're talking here about greens and colored vegetables, that's a source of real energy, especially when you get your mitochondria, which are like the powerhouse
of
your
cell.
Mm-hmm. That can really make a difference. So I really love for people to be lit from within, you know, to have their mitochondria working for them and not to rely on a high-interest loan, which is what I think cortisol is for a lot of people.
All right, quickly, grain-free is reset number 5 for the thyroid. So this is all grains, whole grains, everything?
I recommend giving up grains. You know, we definitely see that there's a connection between perhaps the anti-nutrients that are present in grains, things like phytic acid, and problems with absorbing certain minerals that are important for hormone balance and metabolism. So the other issue is that gluten resembles the thyroid, and so it can trigger a problem with autoimmunity. And most autoimmune protocols, whether that's for Hashimoto's thyroiditis, where your body's attacking the thyroid, suggests that you go grain-free. So I feel like there's sufficient data now to advise people to go grain-free for the rest of the program.
Hashimoto's is also exacerbated by cruciferous vegetables, isn't it? So that even limits the kinds of vegetables you can eat?
Well, this is an interesting one. You know, if you look at the data on cruciferous vegetables, I believe that the benefit may outweigh the risk in terms of thyroid function. Now, some people seem to have more sensitivity to raw cruciferous vegetables in terms of it slowing down their thyroid, whether they have Hashimoto's or not. But there's also such a benefit in terms of the nutrient density. So my recommendation is that you lightly steam the cruciferous vegetables, but keep eating them.
All right. Reset 6 we didn't get to is dairy-free to reduce growth hormone, and reset 7 is to go toxin-free to target testosterone. So a lot of details in the book, The Hormone Reset Diet. Sarah Gottfried is its author, and she's been our guest today. Sarah, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Take care.